Coming to you live from downtown Detroit, this is Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep with your host, Joel Elkanen.
This is a volatile puppy here, isn't it?
And Dennis Dick.
I've bitten a penny. I will buy the stock for a penny.
With everything you need to start your trading day.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this Wednesday edition of Benzinga's Pre-Market Prep. Spencer Israel, Joel Elkanen, Dennis Dick. Busy day for us from now until the conference next week. We're going back to 2 days, two guests on the show today. First up at 8:35, we'll be joined by Sean Udall. Then at 9, we'll be joined by Mike Bellifiore, co-founder of SMB Capital. In between and around those guests, a lot to discuss. The Tesla shareholder meeting yesterday gave us some headlines to talk about. Earnings from Play. We have some stocks consolidating, some stocks breaking out. We'll talk about all those and more as we get through today's show. Joel, what is the word here overnight?
A little bit of weakness, Spencer. We're down 8.25 handles here at 28.78.75, your pre-market high, 28.91. Nothing up there, folks. It's just above a pair of closes from Monday and Tuesday, so keep an eye on that area. On the downside, we got a slippery slope, folks. Our pre-market lows at 75.25. I got nothing that I would lean on until 54.75. That was your interday low from Friday. You have crude in the red by $1.42 at 51.85. Cannot hold a rally. Are we going under 50 bucks in the crude oil market? Gold. Rebound up 780 at 1338.80. Silver up 3.5 cents at 1477.5. And on this platform, I don't have Bitcoin. So let's take a look at Bitcoin. Been kind of quiet as of late, back above 8,000. The futures here trading up $82.50 at 8,000.05. And folks, this is the last day that June is going to be the front month contract. So tomorrow, we'll roll to the September. That's you. That's Spoo. That's like my Twitter handle. And so little choppiness. And you, Dennis, you certainly saw that off the open yesterday. That was a quick decline.
Off the open. Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah, I don't know. My goldfish memory here, I've already forgotten all about yesterday there. But we were talking about yesterday morning. It's just come up too far too fast. I mean, we were up for 6 days straight. I said on the show multiple times, if you're buying now, you're doing it backwards because 6 days ago we're at 275. Now we're over 290. It felt like all the good news was baked in. It felt like it could be a fade morning. It definitely was. They came in. So now we come in and we get a little bit of follow through here today again. I mean, you know, jury's out here. It's tough to say if this is just a pullback here to buy. I think you get down to the 285 area, I think you find more buyers. There's definitely some causes for concern, major causes this morning. Oil is getting rocked here again. I mean, we did rally over the last 6 days, but not that much considering. And here we are in 1 day giving the majority of our gains from the last 5 days back. So oil is still in the gutter. You've got other concerns as well. Some of the tech stocks, some of the big Momo names getting hit here this morning. It's an interesting market, we'll say that. There's still a lot of rotation. Yesterday, even in the down tape, you saw a lot of defensive names. Your utilities were looking a little bit stronger once again, but more so Procter & Gamble's. The staple stocks like Coca-Cola were holding up well. Pepsi held up fairly well, but Procter & Gamble was higher. Colgate was slightly higher. Johnson & Johnson's holding up fairly well. So a lot of rotation again.
Just real quick, for the crude oil traders here, we got a pair of lows, the low of the move at 50.80. That was backed up by a 51.17 low. So let's split those 51 even with 50.80 being the low of the move. All right, so earnings, man. We really don't have much to talk about the earnings front. What we have.
Give the one earnings report, but we have lots to talk about other than earnings. But let's go to the one earnings report. Following our theme that there always has to be a retailer, or at least, you know, I guess you can call it a retail play. It's a restaurant, but it has to be up 20% or down 20%. Today, it's going to be one that is down 20%, and it's going to be one of the best ticker symbols out there. Play, PLAY. Give us the details. It doesn't look pretty.
Yeah, I'm always reminded that we have never done our like best of the ticker show, but that'll never happen anyway.
That'd be right at the top of my
list. All right, David Buster is reporting yesterday after the close. Q1 EPS beat by a penny. Sales missed $363 versus $371 million. They cut their fiscal year sales guidance. So
yikes.
From one point, actually, they didn't cut it that much, but it is a cut nonetheless. They're in the high $1.3 billion range, and that's the story here.
The story is this thing is going straight down to, I got to think you've come this far, always on day one after an earnings guidance cut, it's rare that you see them bounce back. Sometimes on the stocks that are in hard uptrends, they'll get bought, but this wasn't really in an uptrend going in. It was kind of in a downtrend. It's kind of just meandering around looking for direction. It got direction after this earnings report. I think you've fallen far enough that I think you probably test 40, and below that, there is some nice support at 37.85 and 37.98. So call it 38.
Nice job.
That's here. I'm taking all Joel's pieces here. That's another 10% below where we're currently trading. You know, at least 10% based on the price that we're currently at of 41.50. So I think if you're buying a 41.50, I think you're early.
Yeah, 41.50 was your June of 2018 low. Dennis, of course, mentioned the parallels just under 38. Those are monthly lows, so they have more significance. I mean, you know, what do we call this? The adult Chuck E. Cheese? I mean, you know, yeah. You got a moniker like that. I don't know. I get a headache just looking at those places as opposed to actually going into them. But Luke likes those places, doesn't he, Spencer? Isn't he a big Chuck E. Cheese? David Buster's?
He accounts for half the revenue.
Of the revenue. And he's been working a lot. So if I wouldn't have known that, I would have shorted it ahead of the report.
All right. We won't pick on Luke anymore here. Let's go and start picking on – well, I was going to say we could pick on Elon Musk, but it's not really picking because the stock is actually trading higher here. Lots of fun things off the headlines here. Spencer, give us the details.
I mean, yeah, unsurprisingly, he would talk up, you know, his own company at their annual meeting. What he say? He said that they hope to unveil a pickup truck this summer. Could get into semi-production by the end of the year. He teased an insurance acquisition, but didn't really offer too many details beyond that. Said it could be this could be their biggest year ever. The biggest thing was probably when he said that they don't. To be clear, we don't have a demand problem.
Yeah, that was the line, and that headline crossed. The stock was trading around 218, and that headline crossed. I tried to lift a 220. I missed it on the headline because it was fast. I got some at 220, 40 maybe, some in there. I got a piece, but not as much as I wanted. And then it was 221, and then I was like, well, do I buy 221? I'm starting to pay up a little bit here. So I just held on to my piece. The thing went to 228, so I wish, you know, I would have got more. I was trying to buy more, but it went really fast. So headline traders, you got to be fast. I missed my bulk of my order at 220, and then I only got a piece at like the 220, 40 or something, but it blasted right off to 228. Next 5 minutes, it went up to 228 on that. Did peel back down, and now it's been kind of hanging out in the 224 area, so the price discovery process has kind of found a home here at 224. You got to think, you know, a lot of expectations were baked in a little bit too. It's been on a pretty incredible run from 180 to 220 ahead of this, and you know, now you get we do not have a demand problem. Saying where everybody's speculating that I have a demand problem. So that's helping the stock here overnight.
228.74. Were we able to dump it at all, or did you still hold it?
No, no. I was in it for like 3 minutes. Headline trader. I bought 220 and change, and I sold at 224.95, and it went to 228, so I didn't get the bulk of the piece, but I got to get $4.50 off of it. If I would have got all of my order at 220, I would have made a lot of money. But I only got the piece. And then I was like, I couldn't bring myself to pay 221. I could have lifted. There was like, I don't know, 1,500 shares of 221. So I could have lifted the 221. But it kind of sat there. And I was like, I didn't want to pay up the extra point. Cheap. Here I am. I'm cheap again. I should have, because obviously, you know, just a few minutes later, like I said, I had 225 in my head, just big round number. I thought it might stall out, but it blew right through it. So I got out at 224.95. I always like getting out of the big, ahead of the big, you know, psychological numbers, because if they're going to go kiss it, I want to be out ahead of it just in case it doesn't go through it. So I got out somewhere in there, like 224.90. It scaled out a little bit. 224.
Okay. 28.74. That marked your high of the move, and now you pull back to the 224.5 area. Let's see here. On the dailies, nothing up there. Pair of highs at 231 and 232.44. Just the fact that we've peeled back $4, you know, from that high, I think it gives it more significance to it. So yeah. I use that as a target, and maybe if you could get a piece at 230. But the news is out. You've also had a 50 buck rally off that 178.99 low. So could run into a little profit taking here, holding steady at 224.30. If you are buying this off the open on this gap open, you want to see it in the next handle, wherever it opens right away, or else I think you get a little bit of a peel back here in Tesla.
Let's go talk the stock. Everybody continues to talk about every 5 minutes, CNBC's covering it. Beyond Meat, look, Bitcoin ticker in the corner. I'm surprised they don't have a Beyond Meat ticker in the corner. Anyways, BYND gets rocked yesterday. JP Morgan, just the catalyst, obviously, with the downgrade. Like I said, I sold it. When I saw that downgrade, I got to my computer at 7 a.m. and saw the downgrade. I sold it at 156. It was a good sale to get out of it because I was like, you know, this is probably going to put some short-term pressure on, and it did. I didn't see it going down to 125. That was incredible that it fell that much on the downgrade. It's downgraded again today, believe it or not. Who's downgrading it?
Bernstein.
Bernstein downgraded them to neutral or market perform.
Yeah. And
$123 price target.
I think you would have saw this stock trade down, but they got a contract, it looks like, from Tim Hortons. That's helping. So you have two, you know, obviously downgrade, but then the Tim Hortons contract. That was announced that they were going to obviously be at Tim Hortons, which is a huge place in Canada, obviously. So Beyond Meat, they're going to serve there. So that's why I think you're seeing the reversal here this morning on the downgrade. So I would say yesterday's low. That's what's critical. You want to see it hold that. If you think the bottom is in at 125.23, you want to see it hold that. If it takes it to 125, you know, you got a little bit of that 2-3 day low at 120.76, but then you got a whole lot of air. So if I was long this, playing this for a bounce play, I would not want to see it below 125.
So for what it's worth, the only two buy ratings are now down to neutral.
Okay.
For whatever that's worth.
That's interesting. I think that I'd be holding out for 115-ish. That represents 50% from 45 up to 186 and change. So it's, you know, it's acting good on bad news here. So that's a little bit of a reprieve. We got a long way to go. What do we have? How big of a move if you want to figure a retracement going the other way? Let's call it a 60-point move just for simplicity's sake. So yesterday's high 150, mid-range would be 155. I don't see it going right back there. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot of offers on the way up. Yesterday's high is even 150. So tough. 120.76. That's a target for you folks. That was your low just on Friday. And then $100 will really be a rock if you can take out 115.
I want to see if it can take out the 125. That's sure. Going to be the key for me, really. If it gets down there and starts to stall out and looks like it, I might try for a bounce play off that 125. But it's dangerous. You don't got to give it a short leash there because this thing can be slippery. It can have a point spread on you, 1 point spread. And, you know, like I said, you got to ride these things until that JP Morgan downgrade we knew was going to be a catalyst to take it down. It was down $10 when I sold it. So, you know, I'm glad I got out. But, you know, when you see headlines like that, you've got to, you know, ring the register if you're in it, because that was the first analyst that had come to really downgrade the stock, I think, ever, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Had it ever had like we had the initial period, but I don't know if it ever had a downgrade.
Real quickly here.
Can you verify that? I'm just before. Had that ever had a downgrade?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to learn from this.
No, in 4 weeks, no. Remember, this thing is 4 weeks old.
Yeah. So that was the first ever downgrade. So you knew that was going to be majorly impactful, especially when it's coming from one of the underwriters.
A monthly candle, real quick, from the Google chat in Urban. Let's see. I think it's Carolus likes that. I don't know about that monthly candle. It's just forming here. I guess if you think 22.19 is the bottom here, 22, that was the low in May. Urban Outfitters.
URBN.
Yeah. Yeah. We get mentioned in the chat. Someone kind of likes the monthly candle that it's forming after just disastrous. I don't know how many monthly candles that is. I mean, maybe put your stop at 21.80, you know, just in case they shake the 22.19, take out the whole number, and then, you know, and go 21.97 and take it back up, but really, really a steep downtrend here. Yeah. So you're going to have a lot of overhead supply. Yeah. Urban, do they report? They report kind of late, don't they?
Do they report yet?
Yeah, I think they're tomorrow.
Oh, they're coming up.
So it's going to be at 15 or 29.
It's going to be a 20% mover, either up or down.
I lied.
These retailers move 20%.
I lied. I don't know when they are.
Okay. Anyways.
No. They reported May 21st.
Okay. So it's not. Oh, then the big down move. Okay. So this is still sliding after a disappointing report. Again, telling you, if you're buying it the first day, sometimes it's not the best idea on disappointing earnings, especially when they lower guidance. It seems like these things continue to leak for a prolonged period of time. It's actually been the play in this earnings season to sell them short on the day that they report, you know, and disappointing earnings.
Even if it's a gap down lower.
Okay.
Sorry about that. I figured that.
I didn't know what Joel said, so.
I'm going to try and do the stocks in the chat when they come up because I make a list.
Yeah, I mean, we're slow enough today from a news standpoint that we can grab some chat stocks. So if you got some, throw them
Boeing
up.
News. Do we have any Boeing news?
Yes, they had another month of no new orders. Second month in a row, I believe, of no new orders. And I think Bloomberg had a report saying that the 737 MAX is going to be flying again by September per the FAA, per one FAA official, I should say, actually. So a couple of headlines. They had no new orders last month, and the 737 could be back by the end of the year.
Hard to get interested in the stock below 360. It bumped its head up 3-4 times in May. It kind of climbed there 2 days ago, got up to 357. Major resistance at 360. This is just textbook Harlan Pyon style. What level jumps out at you when you look at your 90-day chart? And you can see all the lows just above 360 in March and April. We took it out in May, went back to test it multiple times. Old support becomes new resistance. This stock has major resistance up at 360.
I was looking to get excited below
60.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. That popped out too. And the low, you know, when it gapped up was around that area too. So September, that's a ways away. You know, I'm not about the credibility of the, it just seems like there's so many positive and negative headlines on that. And then it really doesn't move. So, you know, it's tough. It's a tough trade. You have to wait till all that clears out. Marsh Murray, who's new here in the Google chat's asking about Boom. And Boom, I've never traded this stock before, but I'm sure Triple D has. B-O-O-M, Boom.
I've traded it, but I don't know much about it from a fundamental perspective. So
Neither do I.
I like that chart, though.
You do not like it.
No, I don't. It looks like it's hanging off, getting ready to fall off a cliff, doesn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know anything about the company, but that chart's ugly.
Yeah, you're looking at the low. I see 68 even, and it breached that yesterday, went to 67.64. So, I don't know. I mean, and you look at the monthlies, man. This thing was under $40 and over doubled. I don't know if they're a cloud stock or what the hell they do, but I don't know. Might want to use a trailing stop on that one. And if you're hoping for, you know, some kind of rally here, you want to see this thing, you know, get back half of this decline that it's had. It's a pretty big decline. It's not 77. You need this thing to get back over 70, 72, 73 in a jiffy to challenge that all-time high.
Jump back over. Just go to the ratings parade here because we got 3 or 4 good ones here this morning. Spencer, give us the highlights.
Well, I don't know which one do you consider the good ones. Juniper is catching an upgrade this morning, and Rosenblatt to neutral. That's not super influential, but they do good research. I don't see too many upgrades that are notable. As far as downgrades are concerned, Fizz, F-I-Z-Z, catching an upgrade this morning from buy to hold at CFRA. We've talked about them.
Jeffries had some negative comments, too.
Yes, they did. We talked about the Beyond Meat downgrade, Cisco downgrade at William Blair to neutral,
and
the Trade Desk is downgraded at Nomura.
That's the big one. TTD has been absolutely wild. There has been no stock that benefited from the 6-day rally more than TTD. That stock was in the gutter, had the disappointing numbers, came up, classic cup and handle. Like we say, we don't like patterns, but man, that was a pretty pattern for May if you were looking at it. And then it decided to go into blast off mode on June 4th. From 200 up to 223, the blast off continued for 4 consecutive days, making new all-time highs all the way up to 257. too much too fast, slowing down. The downgrade's bringing it down 14 points here this morning. If you think that's overdone, it's just because, well, the whole entire rally was overdone. So you know when it gets a downgrade, it's going to give back a little bit more than probably normal. I don't know, maybe 50% retracement of the recent move there, Joel, for a maybe.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean,
100, 260, I don't know, like 228-ish.
I mean, it's down 11 sticks, huh? So they're 14. 14? Wow.
They're rocking it. Rocking.
Yeah. Let's see. Where did it, that's a good. Let's go with that. See where that comes. Let's call it 174 to 257. Is that correct? Oh, my gosh.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. What?
No news. Not any major headline. Maybe there was a rating change. It wasn't anything major, though. They just decided to start buying stocks in June, and this one they decide to buy the most.
Yeah, boy, I remember, man, you keep your take your eye off these charts. And so that was an 83-point move, I think. I'm calculating here up to 174. 215.5 would be your 50% retracement. Ahead of that, I look at some of your daily lows, and you know what? It might get a bounce at 225. Might. I see a pair of lows there, just under 225. This is your forward five-day lows. After that, look out, Loretta. The next daily low was at 2,050. So, I don't know. You see 225, if you're looking to cover a part of a short, maybe take a look at it there. Trying a long, I don't know. Maybe wait for 200. Let's talk Goose real quick. Someone mentioned the Goose. I'm getting bombarded with tickers here. It's trying. It's down 76. It got a downgrade, right, today?
Did it downgrade?
Oh, did it?
Oh, no, you said something about Goose.
I didn't see that. I don't think so.
I didn't see a Goose downgrade this morning.
No, I don't think there's any rain
change. Sorry, guy. I thought – are you sure? Okay.
I'm pretty sure there's no rain change.
Why is it trading down?
Either.
We have no why it's trading down with the market.
Yeah, it's just with the market. I trade an odd lot at 34.52. Someone got excited. Yeah, it's 34.52. I mean, this stock was killed on the earnings. The story is broken and over here. Like, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to buy at 35 and sell at 50. I don't think you're getting a chance at that. I think, you know, 35, maybe get in and maybe can show a little bit of life, get up to 37 or 38. But overhead supply all over the place. Everybody who has bought this has been goosed. And I think path of least resistance is actually still down. So I'm a seller of rallies and Goose.
You're opening into yesterday's low, or just about yesterday's low. So you want to see a bounce. The support level's 34. I'll give it a little bit below yesterday's low, since your 2 days low is 33.87. Low of the move, 31.67. So there you go. There's your numbers on the upside. 35. Looks like someone's really trying to work out of a piece at 35. No exact numbers there, but you got up over 35 yesterday and the day before, but really closed 35.28. So that's been the high of the rebound. There's my resistance, 35.28. Spooza rallying a little bit here, Dennis. You had mentioned you thought the stocks were a little bit beat up, and Spooza now back over 28.
Got some stocks holding up. It's defensive again. It looks like it's going to be a couple of your retailers might show some life. I mean, Lululemon's going to report tonight. It is trading in the green ahead of those numbers. Tailored Brands also reporting tonight. It is trading in the green. So it looks like there is going to be a little bit of life here, some rotation. Your consumer staples, XLP in itself is actually a bit higher. So overall, your consumer staples are looking strong. Mo and Philip Morris are not going to participate probably because he had some bad news over at BAT overnight. So that's putting pressure on Philip Morris and Mo. But, I mean, overall here, rotation station continues to hold this market up even when we start to look like we're going to roll over.
Actually, the British American Tobacco headline, BTI, was more of a global industry-wide guidance headline. They said that they expect global tobacco industry volumes to fall around 3.5% this year. They expect U.S. volumes to decline 4-5%. So less to do with their company, more to do with how they see the industry this year.
Which is exactly why MO and PM are trading down significantly on this.
Right.
So because they're saying they'd see – obviously, those numbers don't bode well. If they prove to be correct, They don't bode well for Philip Morris or MO. MO is trading down 1.8% here now. That's a big move for defensive MO.
All right, let's take a look. I mean, that thing's been steadily under pressure, not really a recipient of the rotation. Trading down, it looks like you have, let's see, we're at 51.25. It looks like you have someone nibbling here under 49 and around 49. So that's the low. The actual low of the move is 48.70, but I do see other lows surrounding it. So that's what I'd be waiting for here. 49 even. The longer it stay above 49 even, the more you got a chance for a rally here. But it seems like it breaks and then has a slow little rally, then breaks again, has a slow little rally, breaks again, consolidates, breaks again. So you guys get the trend here. We had another little rally and we're breaking again.
Doesn't sound good. AT6241 Snowboat RH. I do have a small overnight position RH. You know how I like to buy these things ahead of the reports because I try to extract that alpha. I will be selling this before it reports. I'm not taking it through. I just sometimes think these things get bit up ahead of the report. It had an okay day yesterday, held up. I think it could have an okay day here today. I mean, Lululemon's getting bit up ahead of its report there too. So hoping RH does the same, but I will be selling it today.
Oh, 84. That's your number. $10 off the low. That's your monthly low for May and for June. I think, Dennis, I think if you get above, let's see, 93.33. No. Yesterday's high is 95.47. That'd be a great target for you. That's $3 away. Is it trading red on an odd lot, Dennis? Let me see.
Yeah, odd lot. I'd strike that. It's
okay.
200. Well, not a lot. 200 shares traded.
Yeah, I see it.
You know, okay. What happens? And it was a retail trade. How can I tell that? I could see it's FINRA. So it went to an off exchange market maker. So it's somebody nervous. They come in, oh, the market's getting killed. I better sell my RH. And they go sell it in the pre market. They probably sold it too low, sold it down a buck. So they hit a, you know, they were trying to hit a bid that's done. The bid didn't even get hit that was done because the off exchange market maker said, oh, I'll take that. Thank you. Because they know it's probably too low. So you can see the off-exchange market maker because they take it to the FINRA tape. So the person who's bidding at 92.25 doesn't even get filled, which is a whole other story that I've complained about for years. But anyways, the off-exchange market maker, when they scoop up and step in the way of it, they're often correct. So anyways, I don't think it should be down. I don't think it's going to be down a buck.
Okay, 8.28. We got a couple minutes here. Two imbalances. Just kind of quiet here. Just kind of hanging out at
very quiet. I mean, I'm torn here. Maybe imbalances are going to get us a little bit. China overnight has been hit. There's a lot of stuff hit. I'm very surprised that the S&Ps are only down five handles because China's been hit fairly hard here. Oil is getting massacred here this morning. You have a lot of semiconductor stocks getting hit fairly hard here. I mean, Qualcomm is down with a 3% here, which is another story because there was multiple headlines from Qualcomm, but one was that Apple was thinking about, you know, doing their own parts and or potentially making their own. It's just a rumor, but
Qualcomm. Yep. And yeah, we're gonna have Sean Udall on at 8:30.
So we'll save that for him. Yep, I don't we'll do something. But there was also another headline from Qualcomm. Spencer, please enlighten us.
Yeah, ongoing with this this thing with the FTC, right? Remember they had their ruling them a couple of weeks ago now, and then Qualcomm asked the judge to if he could like stay that ruling and allow them, give them time to renegotiate their deals. Well, the FTC just went to the judge and was like, nah, don't do that, don't enforce your antitrust ruling like right now. And so we'll get more headlines about this, but the antitrust ruling has not been enforced yet. But it is a ruling against them. I don't know what's going to happen, but the judge is going to decide when to enforce, whether to listen to Qualcomm and not enforce his ruling right away, or listen to the FTC and enforce it and basically cause Qualcomm.
We got some buy imbalances, Dennis. Where are the buy imbalances at here?
No, I think there's an 830 number.
Oh, okay. I think
what did you have?
I just see the spoons. Yeah, things are moving.
Big pop on the spoos. What's the number, Spencer?
Yeah, hold on. I'm waiting for it. I'm looking at four different places at once. CPI.
Maybe CPI data.
Yeah, CPI. I don't know what the expectations were. I can find it for you real fast if you want it. But
the market's pricing it in. I mean, we rally popped 3 points on it, so obviously
expectations. In line.
Core CPI 2% versus 2.1% estimate. Yeah, I mean,
whatever. Pretty much. There ain't no inflation. I don't even want to get talk about interest rates because we all know.
Really, these stocks, man, though, like, they're not responding that much. I don't know. I think I'm a fader of this pop.
Yeah. Hey, here's a headline I just saw. TheStreet.com.
Yeah, we got it. What's up with that? It's halted.
To be acquired by Maven for $16.5 million in cash. They had a
What's the symbol on TheStreet.com? I don't know what the symbol is on there.
TST. They did a reverse split.
Right, they had a reverse split like a few months ago. Anyway, just thought that was interesting. But
that's a stock that has obviously been in the gutter forever. I mean, the all-time high on this thing has got to be.
Oh yeah. Oh, exactly.
Well, it's a reverse
splits in that hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Yep.
What's the all-time high, Joel? Justin.
Adjusted all-time high in TheStreet.com. Oh boy, it is 361.05. What do you got?
I've got 7,000. So in 2002.
There might have been some reverse splits. So anyways, so I don't think the people who bought that are getting their money back anytime soon at 3,000. But when you buy with ridiculous valuations, that's what you get. So remember, long-term investing, look at those valuations. Don't just stick these beyond meats in your long-term portfolios thinking they're going to grow into them because they often don't.
The all-time low was negative 8.4.
What?
All right.
One more headline before we grab Sean, and that is I want to talk about Mattel. They rejected another merger bid from MGA Entertainment yesterday.
Why would they do that? Let's see here.
Not the price they want.
You know what, though? This is a couple times we've had rumors of Mattel getting acquired here, and it sounds like they want more money. You know, at a certain point in time, this could actually get acquired. I would not want to be short Mattel. And I'm not surprised it's getting bid up here this morning. You know, fundamentally, on its own, it's a broken business. We know that. That's why the stock is at $10. But there's too many, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's been too much smoke around here. We had smoke back in February. We're getting smoke here again. I think eventually maybe somebody does buy them. And that's why I don't think I want to be short it. I'm not long it because it's a broken business model. I think without an acquisition, the stock is in trouble. But I don't think I want to be shorted either, or just in case, you know, one of these rumors eventually materialize.
Let's see here. We are 82 and a quarter. I'm looking at mid-range on the session at 83 and a quarter. So that's my bogey. Real quick here, a question about Aurora Cannabis. And this just kind of looks tired here. I don't think I could get real enthusiastic until it clears 8:30. Multiple highs in that area. It filled the gap from, I believe, the Nelson Peltz news, but it's just, it's quiet, needs a catalyst.
Pot story seems to be broken.
Yep.
At least, like, it's the buzz, no pun intended, the buzz from legalization has ended. We had the, you know, legalization in Canada. We had a nice run in March on a lot of these stocks. They all don't look very good to me anymore. I own a little bit of Aurora Cannabis left. I sold over a half around the 9 area, Canadian equivalent, so net 9 US. I wish I would have sold it all. I might just get out of this. I'm still up in the thing, but I'm just looking at all these charts, and the valuations are all ridiculous on all of them. I think, you know, the story is starting to fizz out here, and I'm concerned about being long any pot name.
Okay.
Right. I don't know what's the catalyst going to take us forward. Spencer, is there a catalyst coming? Like somebody going to full legalize? Or is there any more catalyst coming? We had so many catalysts that kept kickstarting the industry. And, you know, and yeah, everybody was speculating that MO was going to come in and buy one, or you were going to see more, you know, acquisitions happen. That never materialized. We had the big, you know, investment from Constellation Brands.
Canopy,
but nobody else has ever really had a big investment here. And that's concerning.
It could be in, you know, ongoing legalization legislation, or it could be like statewide, or it could be federal. There is some,
we already had full Canadian legalization. We already have a lot of states legalizing here. You know, at a certain point in time, valuation is going to matter. And these things are all trading with ridiculous valuations. So when the story ends, or when the story starts to, you know, the buzz, you know, not even a pun intended, but that hype, that's, you know, around a group of stocks, around an industry. When that hype starts to fade, that's when valuations start to come in. I think we're starting to see that here. Is there going to be, you know, some more winners in the sector? Sure. But I think overall, I think the industry is just way overvalued. And I think the long term, that I don't think they can ever grow into some of these valuations, some of these stocks. So, you know, is there going to be some big winners? Is going to be an Amazon-like pot stock? Probably. Is that going to be Constellation or Canopy Growth? Maybe. But you're still paying huge amounts from a valuation perspective on that too. I mean, when these things start to get reasonable valuations, that's where maybe I'm going to get interested long term.
I think
I don't want it.
Biggest catalyst right now could be the States Act. If there's any sort of change to the financial, well, the financial laws, and as far as how banks can operate and work with these companies, because that will be a big deal if that happens. Whether it's the States Act, the Safe Banking Act, both of which are proposed right now in Congress, that would be if they could open that up to, you know, the financial industry and let them actually work with these companies, that would be a big deal. But in any case,
can we bring in Sean live or do it? Because I know we're on Zoom.
Yeah, this would be good. This would be a good conversation for Sean too.
I'm gonna try him. So Sean Udall, CIO of Quantum Trading Strategies, frequent contributor, tech stock strategist. Sean, are you with us?
Good morning, briefing.
Blow.
Benzinga. Oh, you know what? Actually, messed that up for the first time.
Yeah,
that was a low.
Okay, so here I am, dreaming the most glorious dream. About something good, and I hear something, you know, and it's like this weird thing in my dream. And then I hear something again. Of course, it's Joel texting me. It gives him some ungodly time in the morning. But anyway.
Can you come on our show?
Stop waking Sean up, Joel.
I love that he gets that. He's like, yeah, he'll come out of that dream for us. And actually, he doesn't even yell at Joel for it. He probably just responds, yes. Such a nice guy.
It's just part of the life, man. What can I say?
Okay, we're talking pot stocks here. I just went on a rant and said, I think all the valuations are ridiculous. I think the buzz is starting to fade on these things. And when the buzz starts to fade, it's scary to be long names that have ridiculous valuations. So I just basically poo-pooed the whole sector. What is your thoughts here? You know, and obviously there's some stocks that maybe are okay, but I think when I look at it, like, even look at, you know, the best of breed, which they so-called say is Canopy Growth. It's got a $14 billion market cap. I mean, there is some stocks. I don't know if they can ever grow into these valuations. It's just so they're just, you know, so much money has already piled in. I think the easy money's been made, and I think that's actually downside for these things long term. What's your thoughts?
Well, I can't disagree, because I operate focused more in tech, but I'll look at everything.
Yeah, that's why I want to ask.
I think there's tech stocks that I used to love that I don't think that can sustain the valuation, and they have, you know, their company is going to be around for 20 or 30 years. So I'm trying to remember what I did. I put something out on Tilray when it was, you know, well before the high, probably like at 125. I think the high was 300 or something.
Yeah.
And at 125, it was it was on par with some of the most expensive stocks in like 1999. So you know, we all kind of know what happened there. I mean, we could talk about Beyond Meat. We could talk about, I mean, this is really one of the strangest markets I've ever experienced. It's been running like this for about 2 years. We had crypto, then we morphed into pot. We had some weird AI stocks that went from 5 to 75 and back to 5. And, you know, there was remember when Elfin, I don't even know if Elfin even exists anymore. You know, I shorted Riot. I don't even know if Riot exists anymore. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I mean, a lot of people blew up their accounts in 98, 99 before the highs.
I mean, that's the one thing.
A lot more people blew up their accounts in 99. So
in the long run, it's still about valuation. I mean, in the long, long run, you know, for your long-term investors, valuation matters. And, you know, when you're paying multiples, like even go back to Cisco back in 1999. Cisco was the most valuable company in the world, trading with a $600 billion. They were saying it's the fiber of the internet. It was everything. Most valuable company in the world. It went over $80 a share. Here we are, 20 years later. And the stock's at 56. It still has not got back. In 20 years, It still has not gone back to those 85 highs. So when you buy stocks with PEs of 90 and 100, when the growth starts to slow, you could be stuck in those a long time trying to get your money back. Even though Cisco is a good company, it was just trading with a valuation that was absolutely ridiculous.
That's right. In fact, I don't look at PEs as much. I do look at them, but I want to say the maximum or the high price to sales ratio, and I use forward and out year. I think the out year price to sales ratio on Cisco is 45 times sales. So by the way, we're starting to see some cloud stocks in the 30, 35, 30, 36 range now. That's not out year, but it's, there's some similarities. And Cisco was a huge company. I mean, like an Akamai probably was trading at 300 times forward sales or something.
Oh, there was some crazy one.
If you had
a website, you were worth $1 billion. Just a website selling, a lemonade stand website would be worth $1 billion back in 1990.
Yes. What was that? I mean, there were a few. There were that was, those didn't last long though. Remember that? Like by the time we had WebVan, that's the one that sticks in my mind is WebVan. By the time WebVan hit whatever valuation it hit, here's the funny thing, WebVan probably be a viable business today. But by the time WebVan hit, I mean, I wanted to say, did we only have about 2-3 months left of the euphoria by that time? I can't remember exactly.
It went on for a while, but it got crazy because I started Bright in 1999, and that was like when NASDAQ was still like, I don't know, like 4,000. It went up to 5,000. We went from 4,000. So if we just want to recap it, like NASDAQ was like 2,000 and like maybe like 1998. I'm just going from my head. And it took like a year to go to like 3,000, another year to go like 4,000. It took like 2 months to go to 4,000 to 5,000. It was just like that was, the upside capitulation where everything got silly. And then it imploded. And we know the NASDAQ went down to 1,100 from 5,000. That was the index. So you're talking about almost an 80% correction in the overall index. I mean, think about if that was to happen today. And not saying that's going to, because I don't think we're at those, there's a lot of reasonable value in the NASDAQ. But, I mean, that's how bad it was. Like, the overall average tech stock was down 80%. So it was
incredible. Well, it's a great lead. Here's the difference today. The difference today is the algos have a new trick. They take 5, 6, 8, 15 stocks up. Let's just say they it's narrow leadership, right? So a small number of stocks move the indices and they basically crash out everything else. I mean, so, outside of those 5, 10, 15, 20. So, I mean, basically FANG has morphed to cloud. The FANG bubble morphs to the cloud bubble in 8 months. But you take out the 10 or 15 or 20 most expensive stocks, the average stock is very, very reasonable. The difference in 99, you had tremendous pin action. So if you had the leaders, the generals like Cisco going up 5%, you had small cap, know nothing companies. They didn't even have to have great growth. They'd go up 15, 20%. Today we have just the opposite. You have the leaders acting crazy. And then you have, for every leader, you have 25 stocks that are at like, 3-year, 5-year, 7-year low valuations and stuff like that. Very, very strange market.
All right. Give us some of those names you're eyeing. Like, we've got multiple people in chat asking the same thing. Like, because we have had some tech stocks that have been hit, significantly here.
Oh, bludgeon.
What are some stocks that long-term, because you're a longer-term guy.
My single favorite space for sort of a trading / investment thesis is stuff levered to 5G. That stuff was that stuff was showing sort of rational market leadership. And then the whole Huawei thing came out, so no business to Huawei. That basically has taken a lot of those names. If they're not back kind of sniffing December lows, they've done like either a 50% or greater Fibonacci retracement sort of a thing. So I'm kind of been hunting in that. One of the newer names, and I bought the same earlier, sold it back in it again, is Light. So Light's the only new position I've significantly built. The other name I added a lot to, I had a tiny position in it, Pivotal. Now Pivotal, I actually really think Pivotal's got a very, very long runway, very durable franchise. It's basically the same genesis as what same team, if you will, that created VMware, the EMC innovation team. So So same genesis, same lineage as VMware. And, you know, Pivotal, they guided down. They guided down 5%. Stock was down 45%. So I think I increased that. I mean, I had small, I probably increased that position 5 to 8 fold. Still not a full position, but I basically bought about half of what I wanted to. The stock I'm looking at, the stock that I'm eating some crow on is Cloudera. And I'm not buying Cloudera yet. I will at some point. But same deal. Now, their guidance miss was worse. But here again, about a 10% guide down. Problem is the second quarter in a row they guided down. But still, I mean, that thing dropped. And that thing was already arguably cheap. It dropped another like 40%. So we're literally talking 2.2 to 2.5 times net cash now. It's like 1.6, 1.7 times sales. You know, I'm not happy about it, but at the same time, I'm not going to sell a stock at 1.6 times sales just because everybody else in the world.
So you're still in it, but you're thinking
examples of why I don't do that. But anyway, what did you say?
Are you still in it?
I am. Yeah. Because I don't blow out a stock just because it's down 40%. In other words, I will. I mean, if I think their business had deteriorated 50%,
story changed.
Then I'd be out of it. But the business has deteriorated 5 to 10%. My thesis on it still. You know what I would get? You know, sometimes just the best guide is experience. So like, here's a great example. So you guys probably know of a company called TrueCar. Okay, TrueCar. I would not even put in the same strata from a quality standpoint as Cloudera. But hey, I was lucky enough to own TrueCar. I thought TrueCar bottomed out at 12. But you know, then it went down to like, I don't know, like 5 or something. And but I kind of knew selling at the low wasn't. I just knew I'd get a better price to sell. Honestly, at the time, I thought I would end up selling TrueCar as a loss. Well, I ended up holding it, and I ended up making, I don't know, something like 50% on it, maybe even more. But the bottom line is, you know, I know enough to know that, look, I know what bad news is. I know what really bad news is. I know what rational selling is, and I know what irrational selling is. And the stock dropping 40%, 50% on the 10% guide down is very irrational. So, you know, doesn't mean it can't go lower. And again, I'm not buying it yet, but my thesis hasn't really changed on it. I might have to adjust my price target, but my thesis hasn't changed on it. Excuse me.
So Sean, at what point do you admit that you're wrong though on a Cloudera or even like a Qualcomm? Like what has to happen for you to say, okay, I got this one wrong?
Usually two things, and one being the primary. At this point, I've pretty much, like FireEye, I've pretty much admitted defeat on FireEye as of like the last couple quarters. Interestingly, though, stock's not really going any lower. It's so washed out. But like I haven't traded FireEye for at least a year or two. I've held some, but FireEye is now, you know, basically a swap candidate. So, you know, I usually have to see kind of a fundamental deterioration. I have to see, or I have to see the stock, you know, the biggest thing is I have to see the stock just to where I can't make money trading it. Because to me, and I don't know if Dennis would agree with this, but for me, my initial cost in a position is very irrelevant to my total success in a position. What's more relevant is, can I trade it? Can I keep trading it? Is there a workable trading range? And then, you know, ultimately, hey, is this a stock that I can make 2, 3, 4x on? Because, you know, I mean, that's ultimately what I do. I invest for things, you know, I hold stocks through prints. I hold stocks for 2 or 3 years. You know, I've had a ton of stocks that have done multi-bagger returns. So that's kind of what my aim is, not in every position, but on a lot of them. So there, you know, if you're investing for big long-term returns, you're just going to have to accept that there's going to be a few names that don't work from time to time. But usually I have to see a bit, but again, I mean, I think it's as clear as this. If I felt Cloudera's business, it was 25 to 35% worse. And I thought I didn't see a reason for a resumption of growth. I'd be gone. I'd have been gone already. So in fact, what I typically see is I see price movement on stocks. By the way, same thing happens on the upside. That's how I kind of look at shorts. If a stock is up 100% or 150% and their business is roughly the same as what it was, let's say 2 quarters ago, you know, doesn't mean I'm going to short it that second, but that's on my short list. Same thing on the long side. If I think Pivotal's business is roughly 5% worse than it was a quarter ago. The stock's 50% cheaper. That's an area I'm gonna hunt. It's kind of that simple. I'm not gonna panic to price, and that's what most people are trained to do.
You're trading a fundamental inefficiency. I always talk about technical inefficiencies, you know, like I talk about structural inefficiencies with the market, different order flow inefficiencies, stuff I take advantage of. You're talking about trading a fundamental inefficiency. Business goes down.
You have a technical overlay on top of it. Like it might be a while before I add the Cloudera because I got to see a chart turn. This thing might have to bottom out and kind of wrestle with, you know, people giving up on it for the next half a quarter to a quarter. In fact, it might just trade crappy until there's the next catalyst or something.
I mean, these things can take years too, you know, and I've got some experience, you know, cause I do the long-term investing and I kind of, you know, follow the more Sean Udall approach to my long-term investing. I don't buy these high flyers. I buy stocks when they come down and they've got reasonable valuations still. And sometimes some of my best long-term investments, I've been down 20, 30, 40% in two off the bat. Like, you know, like for instance, you know, Merck was one where I can remember initially buying it around $50 and then, you know, it went down and got silly and I bought more at like 28. And this, if we were going back, you know, 7, 8 years ago, now the stock is 82. I've still got it. So, you know, I was early for sure, but I kept enough that, you know, I actually added to it and it was a company that I still believed in. You know, the story hadn't changed. The dividend yield on Merck when it was $28, I think was 6%. It just got silly. And Eli Lilly was the same thing. I did the same thing. I bought Merck, Lilly, and Pfizer all back when everybody hated pharma in 2011 and 2012. And, you know, where are those things now? So if you've got a good, you know, if you've got good fundamentals, sometimes the stocks can stay depressed for a long time. I mean, I was down in that Merck for a long time. Eventually, it did come back around. So if you've got the good fundamentals behind you and you're not on margin, sometimes you can afford to wait.
That's right. That's right. And again, you know, there's lots of little tricks. I mean, one, it can't be your only position. Two, you know, hopefully it's not your largest position. You know, three, hopefully you have room to add more. Four, like you said, hopefully you're not getting margin called out of it. There's lots of factors. But again, you know, I can't remember how long it's been on. I haven't really liked this market for, I loved it in November, December. And I probably liked it for about 8 weeks. That was probably about it. And, you know, I've been telling subscribers for the better part of the last, you know, 3-4 months that, hey, you know, if I'm buying something, I'm probably selling something else. So in other words, I'm swapping positions. I'm not using, you know, cash or buying power. I'm retaining higher levels of cash and buying power. And I've been more active on the short side. I'd like to say my shorts have been stellar. I've caught some really good shorts, but I've also had some shorts that are, you know, pretty good losers. So this is a tough market to navigate. I think I look at this market right now and Dennis said it, but you know, I would say the amount of fundamental inefficiencies is probably, as high as I've seen in many, many years. It's definitely as high as it was last year. And I'd say last year was sort of a peak post bubble. But yeah, that's the biggest difference now is for every TTD, for example, which I think is unsustainable, there's probably 5 to 10 Clouderas. Maybe they're not hit equally as hard. I mean, we haven't talked about the oil, but you know, if I look at an oil stock, I would literally guess, if I looked at 20 oil stocks, I would guess that oil's at $30 or 28. And I mean, it just, there's just some really, really strange stuff happening out there. Beyond hitting 186.43 yesterday, I think it was yesterday, there are just things that are inexplicable.
All right. All right. We got to wrap up. Sean, Sean Udall is the CIO of Quantum Trading Strategies. Sean, thanks for coming on, and we'll be in touch. Have a good rest of your day.
And by the way, so Joel woke me up. Where is he?
I'm here. I'm here. You guys, I don't know. Dennis is running with it. You guys are doing it good.
Like hiding.
Joel's cowering in fear of you.
Yeah. No. I'm just checking the markets here, trying to adjust a few things. So no, Sean, thanks for coming on. Now, you know, go back to bed. You know, put your jammies back on and go back to bed. And we'll talk. Yeah, well, we got a half hour to the
end. All right. Have a good one, Sean.
All right, guys.
All right. 8:56 here, Joel. We have a 9 o'clock guest. Don't forget. So Dennis,
sure.
Wrap up on, give us your sort of final thoughts here as we approach 9 o'clock.
I sold that rally just because I didn't see the stocks. And I was able to get some SPY shorts off, but up in the upper 59, 58 area. So that's come back in. I see the stocks, you know, they look a little bit weak. So I don't think I'm coming in here and buying S&Ps right away. I think you could see this like first early, you know, 20, 30 minute washout maybe coming after that. But, you know, from an imbalance standpoint, there's a few significant sell ones. GE every day, 155,000 to sell. Pfizer stands out, 178,000 to sell, and PFE. That stands out because drug stocks are actually holding up fairly well this morning. So that's an outlier. I always like to see outliers, and sometimes those give you an opportunity to get a stock on the cheap. Taiwan Semiconductor has been trading up all morning. It's got 78,000 to buy, so it's lifting here in the pre-market. Again, ground zero here for at least overnight where where everything's getting hit is Alibaba is down another $2. China did not have a good night. The FXI is down 1.42%. If you want to go to the emerging markets, EEM is always a little bit less, I feel like, than FXI, but it's down 0.76%. So you've got some weakness there. The banks are showing a little bit of weakness here too. TLT was stronger. It's starting to give a little bit of a back, so maybe that can change. But the banks were looking a little bit weaker earlier. But just kind of across the board, you got a little bit of profit-taking happening here. I mean, it's been an incredible June so far. We have a little bit, you know, is this the turning point? So you've got some nervous Nellies here. I don't think we're giving it all back here in June. I still think, you know, this market is going to turn around. But again, it's headline dependent. So it depends on what comes. Is Trump, now that the market's rallied, like we were talking yesterday, going to get a little tougher on China? Maybe. And that could potentially be bad news for the market. So, you know, as the market rallies more, you get nervous that Trump's going to get a little more aggressive with his negotiation tactics, which could actually put pressure on the markets. That's why I lightened up into that rally there the last couple of days in my longer-term portfolio. Short-term, difficult market to call.
You got a little bit of a fade off that Bernstein downgrade here. Beyond Meat now under 130 here. So we'll keep an eye on yesterday's low. Tesla leaking a bit here too. $5 off its pre-market high, but still up $6.10. So there's just a couple updates since we've been on the show here. On that little pop in the S&Ps where Dennis got a few shorts off, I was looking at 83 and a quarter. We got to 83.75. That's mid-range. So that's what you need to get above here to rally. And just kind of quiet. I think when we started the show, I think the spoons were right here too. So pretty quiet session. CPI didn't do much. So, Dennis, we'll let you go. And what do we got up at 9 o'clock, Spencer?
We got Mike Bellafiore coming on, co-founder of SMB Capital, which is a prop trading firm out of New York. And Mike is going to be at the Trading Summit next week, and I believe he will be in the trading lounge, correct, Joel? Can you confirm that?
No, Michael will be he's going to be speaking in the main room. I think he might pop over to say hi, but I think he's slated for the main room.
All right, well, I want to bring Mike on now. Mike Bellafiore, as I mentioned, co-founder of SMB Capital. Mike, are you with us here?
I am.
Good morning. How's it going? Morning.
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. It's been a while since we caught up. I want to say I get served your ads like all the time online, man. Like everywhere I go, your ads follow me around the internet.
So, good. They should.
Yeah, it must mean they're working. So we were mentioning that you're going to be at the summit next week. But before we get to that, real quick thoughts on this market here this morning.
Yeah. So weakness overseas, some rising some rising tensions in Hong Kong, CPI number out in the morning. So gapping down a little bit after a market that may have been a little bit overbought. So today is a day we'll trade the overall market unusually. Usually we're very specific about when we trade the overall market. When I say that, we'll trade SPYs, Qs, IWM. We'll trade the volatility products like VXX and UVXY. We usually are very selective as to when we trade those ETFs and those products, as we focus mostly on stocks in play, as they give us a little bit more bang for our buck as short-term active traders. But because of the overbought nature of the market, because of the weakness overseas, we're gonna start looking at the overall market today as well as some of the stocks in play.
So wait, what has to happen exactly for you to decide, okay, this is going to be a broad indice type of day and not a stock specific kind of day for us?
Yeah, so really good question. And to give you some general parameters, so if you were to sort of, if you're a coder, if you're a systematic trader, so if volatility measured by the VIX futures gets above 15, we're going to start to be interested in trading the overall market. If the VIX futures start to get above 20, we're definitely going to be trading the overall market. If we're below 15 on VIX futures, we're going to need a pretty significant news catalyst or an overbought or oversold technical condition. So that's what we're looking for. So in December, uniquely, we were like a bunch of futures traders, just trading the market and trading the SPYs and trading the volatility products in and out. And when volatility rises, we're like a bunch of futures traders trading the E-minis, trading in and out.
Why is that? Is that so you can control your risk?
It's because when volatility gets elevated like that, those products for active trading become profitable. If we were to trade the SPY every day based on, when it's 12, 10, when VIX is 12, 10, it doesn't move enough for us to pay attention to. But when it's elevated, it will move enough for it to be worthwhile.
Are you trading the SPY against the futures? Are you trading the leveraged S&P ETFs? What exactly are you trading?
Yeah, mostly we'll trade. It depends on the trader. It depends on what they've deemed to be their best product. So, for instance, some traders will be terrible at trading SPY, but terrific trading the volatility products like VXX and UVXY. They'll tag and measure all those trades. We have pretty complete printouts of the products we trade well, when we trade them well, under what conditions we trade them well at, and that's individual for each trader. And so that depends upon the trader. But some traders will like to trade the levered ETFs. An aggressive scalping type trader will do better with a levered ETF. More of a swing type catalyst trader, event-driven trader will do better with something like SPY, Qs, IWM, VXX. So we'll match that. It's important to match the products to the type of trading style you have.
We're on the line with Mike Bellafori of SMB Capital. Mike, before, I know you got some traders there, right? That are going to talk about some of the setups that they have today. Is that correct?
We were hoping to do that, but
okay.
I think I had talked to my guy to that because I didn't want the camera being passed on. But in any case, today is going to be like an index kind of a day for you. And it depends on the trader, obviously. But are these like short-term day trades they'll be out of by 11 a.m. or out of by the close or what?
It depends. I think on a day like today, today we've gapped down. If we get below the opening range and we start to see some really negative ticks and NYSE tick, and we start to see the ADD line declining. We start to see a high percentage of stocks trading below their VWAP. Then and it depends on the trader again, we could turn this into a sort of a swing trade, pull in trade to the downside. If we don't get that elevated tick, if we don't get those really negative tick, then, and for that, I mean, 800 or above, then we'll probably scalp in and out of it. So we'll observe and see how the market's doing.
And Mike, you guys do a lot of preparation, and I know you like to be very tactical. Just tell us what you use and the information from the after hours and the pre-market trading. How does that, how does that play into your scenario? And how long do you like to wait? You know, because we got some very aggressive traders in here. I know Dennis is basically getting flat off the open and initiating some new positions. What's your time frame and how do you make use of the after hours and pre-market levels?
So we'll trade in the pre-market. I walked in today and the trader that I sat next to was talking about how he was trading a little bit in the pre-market. That's unusual. We don't normally trade in the pre-market. We did have some traders with some overnight positions. They were some guys leaning short and walked into that. But when the bell rings, there are certain setups in our playbook. So the second book I wrote is called The Playbook. And we think of things in setups. We think of trades as plays. They have variables. Traders trade certain plays better than others. They stick to those setups that they've tagged and measured as successful. And they'll look for those setups. And when they see them, then they'll strike. And so one of the setups that we teach and guys utilize is an opening drive play. So actually play, P-L-A-Y, is something in play today. And we'll be watching that in terms of an independent stock right on the open and start trading that right away.
That one actually bounced. I hadn't looked at it since the top of the show, but surprised to see it bounce a dollar or so since we last discussed it. Mike, you run a prop trading firm. What is the biggest mistake you see traders making at your firm?
Well, we make a lot of mistakes. we do some things right too, but we make a lot of mistakes. I find the biggest mistake that we work on with our top traders is when they just trade an idea as opposed to trading an idea that's confirmed via the price action. And so the best traders on our desk trade terrible. They almost certainly lose money when they trade their idea. I think the market's going to go down today. They come in, they start shorting the market. I think Beyond Meats is up too much. Let me short it. Okay. They start shorting the market. I think Uber, above its IPO price of 44, has to go to 50. Let me just get long. That's when they trade very poorly. The same guys who, you know, make $4 million plus in net trading profits in a year, when they just come in and they trade their idea, they will inevitably draw down. They will inevitably lose money. But when they sit in their seats and they take their idea, I think Beyond Meats is up too much. And they find a setup that is in their playbook. I'm going to look for a lower high and something that's oversold that's below VWAP. And then they see it. It's confirmed on the tape. They actually see the selling. And then they get in at a good price. They fight for price. That's when they trade with very clear edge.
Mike, it's so funny that you mentioned that because I've been on trading floors where, you know, emotion can play a big part of it. I was at Oldie Discount and also with Bright, and I've seen some major debacles. And a lot of times, you know, the guys that are in charge of the desk or I was in charge of the office, someone would be buying a stock and the stock 46 and it's at 42. And I'm like, what are you doing? And they're like, I like it here, right? I like it here. Do you check it? Then the stock's at 40. And I'm like, well, you liked it at 42. You must love it here at 40. And they're like, yeah. And that's the way those things start is when you get in to a position with no basis except, what you think, and the market doesn't care what you think. And I just, it's funny because I've told that story on the show probably 1,000 times, and thanks for reinforcing it.
Well, yesterday is a perfect example. So one of the traders that sits to my left really wanted to get long Beyond Meats and thought it would go to 200. And we can debate whether or not that was a good idea or a bad idea. but he had some good reasoning behind it relative because of the short interest being so high, and because of the fact that there's this is the opportunity for people who want to invest in meatless meat to put their money. You've got Beyond Meats as a low float. You've got the Impossible Burger not coming to market until a little bit later. And so that was, he started to put together a thesis. And so that's fine. We don't sit here and tell people to get long or to get short. As long as they put together good trades from their playbook that makes sense, that have strong variables behind them, then that's fine. And if they see it, go for it. But what I said to that trader is, and he started buying at 137-ish yesterday and wanted to give it a stop to below 130 because he thought it would go up to 200. And what I said to him was, great, I'm glad, it's good that you came up with a thesis, it's good that you put that together, but you know, where's the setup that you're trading, and where's the confirmation that you're right with your thesis? Because if you don't do that, how are you going to really be big? You know, the idea is to be somebody who doesn't want to, and he had put a little bit of risk to work buying at 137. He ended up getting stopped out below 130. And I don't, that's fine that he lost money. That's not the point of the story. We make losing trades all the time. But if you're going to put together a trade, you want to put together a trade where you can put serious capital behind it. You want to put together a trade that's scalable, that's sustainable over a long period of time. And that tends to need a lot more than you think, because we don't know what everybody is doing in the marketplace. There's no way for us to be able to cover the needs of all of the big market players on a short term around the world.
And Mike, you're going to be at the Benzinga Trading Summit next week. Can you tease what you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about creating a network outside of your trading network. So we all have trading networks that help us make more. And one of the things we've done recently is create another layer, an outside network, an unusual outside network beyond your immediate network to help you grow as a trader.
All right, great stuff. Mike Bellafiore, as I mentioned, the co-founder of SMB Capital, will be at the Benzinga Trading Summit next week. Mike, thanks for the time, and we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys. Trade well.
All right, have a good one.
See you, guys.
All right, 9:13 now, and I guess that's it for today's show, Joel. So I want to mention that Mike, as I said, we'll be at the summit. A lot of our upcoming guests the next few days are going to be at the summit. In fact, we're going to 2, potentially 3 days for the next the next week, essentially. 2 to 3 guests per day. Pretty much everybody will be at the summit. So we got a lot of guests coming on the next week or so. A lot to get to. But this is it for today's show. If you missed any part of it, catch our podcast, iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Podcast. To get tickets to the Trading Summit, go to bzprofit.com. Enter the promo code PMP50, all caps, PMP50, to get half off your ticket, either general admission or to the Trading Lounge with Joel and Dennis and many others. Thanks to both our guests today, Mike Bellafiore and Sean Udall. Thanks to all of you in our chats. Everyone, have a good rest of your day, and we will see you on Thursday.